Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyne.
And I'm Bonnie North. The Green Bay Packers return home this weekend for a game against the Detroit Lions. The game couldn't come at a better time for the Packers, who just lost two road games in a row and in convincing fashion.
There is more than a little angst in Packer Nation at the moment, and that's where we start with sports contributor Howie Magner. Welcome back. Nice to see you again.
Mitch, it's always a pleasure to be here.
So a year ago, the Packers got off to a very slow start, and what everyone seems to remember about that is the Aaron Rodgers quote, and I quote, did he actually spell it out or did he just say it? Relax.
I've tried to erase it from my memory, but I don't know if he said it and everybody else spelled it out or if he spelled it out and everybody else said it. But
the word was relax.
That's correct, and the point was is he was just telling everybody, you know, relax.
So it's 2015. The Packers have lost two in a row, and I don't necessarily hear everyone saying that. In fact, Aaron Rodgers isn't saying this, but the zeitgeist of Packers Nation seems to be one of concern.
It's amazing how much the perception of a team that still has a 6-2 record can change in the span of 2 weeks or two losses. Because when the Packers were 6-0, everybody was talking about them going undefeated and they're the best team in the league and can the Patriots keep up with them and home field advantage and Super Bowl, here we come. And now they've lost two games in a row, both on the road, both to other undefeated teams. And suddenly people are wondering if they are going to make the playoffs or if they need to fire everybody or whether they should trade Aaron Rodgers. And so it's all kind of silly. And of course, I'm exaggerating. And look, I get it because not only did they lose those two games to the Broncos and to the Carolina Panthers, but
they didn't look so good.
They looked bad. It wasn't not so good. It was they really weren't competitive in the games. And particularly, you know, the Denver game, okay. Denver theoretically has one the best defense in the league and perhaps one of the best defenses of the past decade. And then, of course, Denver turned around and lost to Indianapolis the next week. The Carolina game, they had a good defense, but Carolina's offense wasn't supposed to be any good, and they just blitzed the Packers' defense. And that's where the real concern has to be, is if you're looking at the Packers and, you know, 2-3 weeks ago they had one of the best defenses in the league. And then the Chargers throw for 500 yards on them and Peyton Manning wakes up and looks like the Peyton Manning of old against them. And Cam Newton looks like Steve Young against them and they put up, you know, 30-plus points. So
Maybe the point is that these are two games that people expected the Packers to be up for anyway, and they really didn't look like it until the last quarter of the Panthers game.
You know, the theory is if you're going to be a great team, you've got to look good against other great teams, and the Packers have not. Were they flat? Is it the injuries catching up? Were they not as good as we thought they were? All of those things are in play at this point. And the defense, you can use injuries as an excuse, but the offense hasn't looked good either.
A lot of out-of-rhythm kinds of plays.
Well, that, the receivers aren't getting open. Eddie Lacy is suddenly not the Eddie Lacy of old and lost his starting job as a result of it. This week, the Packers officially made the switch, and James Starks, who has looked good, is going to be the starting running back. Now, look, that's a sign that the coaches are taking this pretty seriously. They're not chalking it up to, oh, we'll get him next time. They're looking at things and saying, yes, we've got problems, and they're saying Eddie Lacy's lack of production is officially a problem, and so they've made the change.
So if the Packers running game doesn't improve, is it going to keep them from going places?
Well, it certainly puts them behind the eight ball. I mean, look, in the past, the Packers had been able to, you know, subsist on an offense that was, you know, 70% throwing the ball because it was such an effective passing offense. It's not as effective an offense without Jordy Nelson there. And I know that they've had, you know, half a season to get used to this, but it's still when you take away a man who is considered one of the top receivers in the league, it changes things. And the Packers have been – maybe they can survive against lesser teams, but when you get up against a good defense or a great defense like Carolina and like Denver, they're going to expose you. And I think the Packers have been exposed to a certain extent. The offensive line has not given Rodgers the best protection. The receivers are not getting open the way they would like to be getting open, and the running game has not been effective. And when you combine those three factors, your offense is probably going to struggle.
The good news here seems to be that they, if they can win most of their remaining games, they've got half a season to kind of right the ship. They play the 1-7 Detroit mm-hmm. Lions on Sunday. If there were a game we could consider a gimme, this would appear to be it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can take the panic a little bit too far. I don't think the Packers are turning into the Detroit Lions at this point, okay? They're still a team that can beat the, you know, bad and the average and perhaps even the slightly above average teams. They're going to make the playoffs. Even though Minnesota is tied with them at the top of the division, I fully expect the Packers are going to win the division. The thing is they're not going to be one of those top two seeds, it doesn't look like at this point. I would expect Carolina to have the inside edge on home field advantage, and I would expect Arizona to get up for the second spot. So the Packers aren't going to have that home field advantage when it counts. But yes, are they good enough to beat teams like Detroit and Chicago and probably Minnesota, who they're going to see, you know, throughout their second half of the season? Absolutely. The problem is that you also expect them to beat the great teams if they're going to be a Super Bowl contender. And I think they still can be a Super Bowl contender, but I don't think it's the easy argument that it used to be at this point.
So let's shift to basketball. Expectations for the Bucks were pretty high going into the season, especially if you look at how much they improved from two seasons ago to last season. They're 4-5 as we have this conversation. Some players are still getting healthy. Anything to worry about as far as the Bucks are concerned?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, certainly not from a long-term perspective. You know, the giant leap that they made last year, I think, kind of overshadowed the fact that they're still looking at a 3-5 year rebuilding process. Now, look, maybe they took 2 years worth of leaps in 1 year last year, but the goal this year is not to win an NBA championship. The goal is to see the younger players continue to improve and continue to foster the core. And they haven't been horrible. They've been average, maybe slightly below average. But in the end, this early in the NBA season, it's pretty much extended preseason. Kidd is still trying to find what rotations he likes. He's still got a lot of new players on this team. He's missing some guys they counted on last year to help them win a lot of games, Brandon Knight, key among them. They've had some injury issues. Michael Carter-Williams, the point guard, has been out. Chris Middleton hasn't found the form that he had last year. Greg Monroe has looked good, certainly been an offensive force.
And Jabari Parker is still getting healthy.
Well, what I was going to say, the biggest factor is that Jabari Parker's back and he's looking like he's, you know, ready to play. They're being very careful with him. Even though he came back, he didn't play in Wednesday night's game against Denver. It's predetermined. They're not going to rush him. They're going to be very careful with him, and that's absolutely what they should do. You do not need Jabari Parker pushing his body to win games in the NBA in November, 2 years before you're supposed to be a championship contender. Take it slow with him. And fans really should take it slow with the, you know, overarching expectations.
You're saying relax.
I'm not saying that you are, because people get on you if you say it too much. But yeah, look, enjoy the games. Watch a young, exciting team. Watch their progress. And look, they're going to win games because they're a good enough team to win games. But the Eastern Conference has gotten better. And even though you'd like them to take the next step, they could become a better team, actually, and win fewer games this year. So let the season play out a little bit more.
Speaking of young teams, Marquette gets its basketball season underway tonight against Belmont. Getting those rivalry games out of the way early. And they're young. It remains to be seen whether they will be exciting. But we should note that this is a team that is more, I would say, wholly crafted by their second-year head coach.
Quick, name the Belmont mascot.
I think it is the
no, yeah,
the Belmont Stakes, I think it is.
Belmont Stakes. Thank you.
Thank you for giving me enough time.
The three horse racing fans out there chuckled, so that's good. The thing about this year's Marquette team is, yeah, it's Wojo's first shot with players that he put together and obviously wants on this roster. I mean, he's still got some players who are inherited from the Buzz Williams era, but he's gone out. He's got two recruiting classes at this point, including this year's freshman class that is one of the highest touted classes in the nation. And the prize recruit is Henry Ellenson.
His brother.
Yes, Wally. And he's also going to, you know, have another year of Luke Fisher and Juwan Johnson and Dwayne Wilson and guys like that. So they should be comfortable with Wojo's system at this point. They should be more comfortable playing together. Look, it's still a relatively young team. I mean, you look up and down the roster and it's freshman and sophomore and freshman and sophomore, which makes sense because it's Wojo's second season. But I do think people have much higher expectations for this Marquette team than they have perhaps even the past two seasons. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it all comes together for them.
We'll check in on them next month. Howie, thanks.
Thanks, Mitch.
Howie Magner is managing editor at Milwaukee Magazine and our regular sports contributor.